Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast, where three Hollywood pros have 1 hour to turn a simple idea into an awesome movie. And changed up the intro a little bit. I am your host and pumpkin spice latte enthusiast, Freddie Wong.
I'm Will Campos, and I am a screenwriter.
I'm Matthew Arnold, and I'm a writer first. I'm writer-director. I didn't have one. You
crushed
took my
it.
Pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, heaven forbid, yep. Matt. I stole that one from you. We're going to try a couple of things differently on
this
episode.
We're mixing it up.
Bad intro by Matt is the first thing we try differently.
Yeah, I don't know how that
usually
one
works. Usually I crush it.
Yeah, usually. We're going to be doing two things. One, Will has put together a Google Sheets document consisting of 20 of the ideas that we've had. One, so that we have a little bit more randomness to it. And Matt has brought in from his significant board game collection the Story Tower, as it is now rebranded, which is a device where you basically drop a dice in from the top and it randomizes it, because there are all sorts of baffles and sort of construction things inside that will make the dice truly random. That's how we're going to pick our topic at the
It's basically like a big nerdy pachinko.
Yes.
Because it looks like a little castle tower, and then you drop a dice in it and you get a random number.
Yep.
At the end.
It's very
and
good.
It has a little portcullis and a gate and everything. We'll have a picture of it on our Twitter. And at the end, I'm gonna be enforcing the hour limit this time hard. So then when the hour hits, we stop talking, and we're gonna pick someone at random here to do an elevator pitch of the movie that you heard, as if we were in an elevator with some hotshot Hollywood producer, and we have essentially exactly 30 seconds. I'm timing it to pitch the movie and see how well we do.
I like this as a dramatic context, because it's essentially like, oh shit, like I have a meeting in an hour for a movie with an executive and I have to bullshit.
Oh, that's
together.
Not bad. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It was like, yeah, you get your 30-second elevator pitch. Like, we've been camped out in the lobby of, I'm trying to think of a movie producer who hasn't been sued for sexual harassment. we've been camped out at Lucasfilm waiting for Kathleen Kennedy to get into the elevator so we can run in and pitch her our movie.
So here we go.
So here we go.
So are we going to do a random for who does the elevator pitch?
I think we should.
Yes,
I think
absolutely.
We should also roll the D20.
Well, I'll get a D6, and then because that's you can
we
put
all
that
guess.
Half.
No, we all guess a number, and then whoever's closest to the number that gets rolled without going
it's
over.
It's too complicated, Will.
I'll
too
get a
complicated.
D6. I'll
go
get a D6 this time.
All right, okay. Matt, roll the 20 here and tell us what we got.
Okay,
to do.
Here we go.
Drop it. He's dropping it in. Number nine.
Number nine. Wikipedia
roulette
two.
Number two. Okay. So
all
back
right.
to Wikipedia roulette.
Our random number generator told us to do a random number. All right.
So are we going to do the same thing where we do three things? Or?
I feel cocky, and I feel like we should just have to do the first thing.
Okay, so it's just one. Yeah, no, that's fair, because it's random. Okay, you do it.
Yeah,
then.
All right. So, guys, if you don't, just a little context, one of the options on our thing was Wikipedia Roulette 2. We had a lot of fun the last time we did this, which is basically where we go to Wikipedia, we click random article, and then we have to make a movie out of whatever the random article is. So hold on to your butts. This could be a really bad episode of Story Break. It's all up to Wikipedia. Where's that button? Okay, here we can I get a drum roll, please?
Yes, very good. What do you got?
What
Will
is it?
Has lost his mind already. What do you got?
Gentlemen, I give you the garlic salt movie.
The garlic salt?
God damn it.
Garlic salt, baby. The hit film of 2017.
Oh my god.
All right.
Wait, so seriously, just garlic salt?
Just garlic salt.
Okay,
so Wikipedia entry for garlic salt is
okay. So I all I can think about instantly is like it's gonna be like Chocolat. Like it's gonna have to be like some sort of movie about somebody who runs a restaurant that has unless you want to get into like the salt trade.
You do it as no. Listen to this. You do it as a holiday movie, and the tagline is "Tis the seasoning."
Holy shit!
Holy shit! Okay, well we're already halfway there.
All right. Did we start the clock, Freddie?
Okay, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
All right, hold on.
It's like you already got like 10 minutes into
Boom.
It. That...
The clock begins now. We have 1 hour.
Shit, 'tis the seasoning is pretty good.
Garlic salt.
So let's talk a little bit about both of those things.
Garlic salt was New York City's top cop.
Garlic salt was the hard hidden pimp from the streets of Brooklyn.
All right, Matt, it seemed like you were onto something with that.
I love Tis the Seasoning, so I'm wondering, okay, can we do like a Chocolat like movie and let's base it around Thanksgiving? It's too early for Christmas.
Yeah, okay.
And, you know, we're in the holiday season, so it's like somebody running a small like store or
a spice shop.
A spice shop,
want,
exactly. Or... Like a spice shop or like one of those hipster. You know, I don't know.
One of those hipster what? Go ahead and finish
stores.
Your sentence.
I was going to say stores.
One of those hipster stores. What is a hipster store?
A place that sells garlic salt.
And only garlic
salt. You mean like Kroger's?
Yeah.
Safeway.
With like, you know, next to a little, next to like lavender salt and like a little, like, you know, it's got ribbon on it and it tells you, like,
so
it tells you this is batch 32 or whatever.
So I remember I went to a wedding and one of the things that we got were like special seasonings.
You know whose wedding that was, Freddie?
Yeah.
That was my wedding.
No, hold on, real quick. Multiple weddings did that. Not to say that.
Yeah, you weren't original.
Yeah. Did other people's mother-in-law make the fucking salt for every table? All right, garlic salt.
Okay.
It's like a seasoning shop, right? Like a place that sells various, you know.
It feels like.
It could be a vampire movie.
Jesus Christ, Freddy.
Freddy is fucking killing this.
Crushing
episode.
This
okay.
Shit.
Think about it. Garlic, right? Garlic.
Thanksgiving
salt.
Vampire
garlic.
Movie.
It's a hipster vampire who runs a spice shop.
Yeah.
And
by night.
That's his cover.
By night. It's a 24-hour spice shop.
By day, he runs the shop. By night, he still runs the shop.
By day, he's garlic salt, a gritty NYPD cop on the edge.
Okay.
Jesus. Vampires. All right, Freddy's on fire. Yeah. We're rolling with it.
Does salt have anything to do with vampires?
Salt? Well, salt has a lot to do in terms of, like, you know, the sort of occult and stuff.
Yeah,
it's
you're
like cleansing.
Making
sort of
a circle or whatever.
Yeah.
You're supposed to carry a small bag of salt with you if you're being chased by a vampire. You only need to spill the salt on the ground behind you, at which point the vampire is obligated to stop and count each and every grain before continuing in pursuit.
Wait, really? So,
according to livescience.com. If you don't have salt handy, some say that any small granules will do, as if this is a thing people have tested.
That's some bullshit.
Including bird seed and sand.
I love the idea of this vampire stopping to count it, and then halfway through, he's like, God damn it, this is sugar. I didn't have to do any of this. All right, it's a vampire movie, for sure. Which is perfect, because it's after Halloween, which is the greatest time to do a spooky episode.
Everyone in their diabetic sugar highs.
Yeah.
9 reasons why vampires fear garlic.
Yeah, why do vampires? Matt, illuminate.
Okay, vampires fear garlic because of the powerful sweet smell. Garlic can be a cause
because of that delicious, powerful sweet
smell.
Can be
a cause of illumiophobia in vampires. It is the fear of garlic.
Just fear garlic
can be caused by fear of garlic. Vampires are bloodsuckers and will not suck blood that contains antibacterial from garlic.
I could see that.
Vampires are allergic to garlic. This is not real, Freddy. Vampires are allergic to garlic bulbs because they don't eat Italian. Okay, this is a bullshit list.
So are there no Italian vampires? You know what I mean? Like, that's a big
Freddy,
part.
Freddy, there aren't vampires.
Okay. We're doing a vampire, right?
Yeah. Doing a vampire. All right. So Dracula.
Yeah.
Lives in Transylvania.
Okay.
And there's there's a little town next to his castle, right?
Yeah.
And he always orders to-go food because he doesn't cook for himself, right? He's just this little vampire. There's a Postmates in Transylvania, little Transylvania. But this woman moves to town. She's this new, it's like in Chocolat, like the mysterious outsider, right? And she's got all these spices. All the people in Transylvania eat bland food. Everyone in town fucking falls in love with their garlic salt. And so they're all using the garlic salt seasoning. And now Transylvania can't eat any food. So then he comes down and he's like, I got to get this fucking garlic salt lady out of town. Like, but then he falls in love with her because it's quirky like that. And she finds out that he's really lonely.
Oh, shit. Okay, so wait. I'll be honest. I zoned out a little bit because I was looking up garlic shortages. I don't know why. But, okay, so you're saying this lady comes to Transylvania kind of like Cousin Chocolat. I believe she's like a new – she comes to the town and like her chocolate is so fantastic.
They're like, your chocolate's too sexy.
Yeah, exactly. It starts changing people's lives. They all start getting sexy over there.
Yeah.
So like this is a lady who comes to a place where she doesn't realize half the people are vampires.
Mm-hmm.
And her garlic salt is so incredible that people start using it in everything.
Yes.
Okay. But because here's what it does. Because, right, it taints their blood, right? Because people are like, this will save us from this vampiric threat
cha-cha. Okay. She has the garlic salt.
Yeah.
There's this pie shop in town that does chicken pot pies.
What time period is this?
I don't know.
Okay,
just give me a second.
Okay.
But this is the shop, is the place that, and the shop is run by a sexy baker.
Okay.
And like, so the girl, like, and he loves the girl. He falls in love with the girl. It's a love triangle is what I'm saying. You've got the chef who's using garlic salt. It's like a three-way love triangle. Dracula loves the chef's food. The chef loves the girl. The girl loves Dracula, right?
Okay.
Or something like that. He can't eat his favorite food anymore.
To be clear,
because it's got garlic salt all over it.
Well,
so he's trying to chase the girl out of town.
Well, just I can hear the
listeners screaming from their cars. Vampires drink blood. They don't eat food.
Do they not eat any food?
No, they drink blood. That's their thing.
Well, it's a blood pudding.
Nice save. That is
I just
what
say
a
that
save.
The so Chocolat was, who was that? Who was the main character in that? I mean, it was Johnny Depp eating sexy dark chocolate. Your version of sexy chocolate is garlic salty blood pudding. That sexy movie.
She comes to town and she's got all these new spices, and Dracula's like, "I don't want your spices, bleh." But then he falls. But then it's like this, like it's this tangled web we weave, where there's the chef and Dracula and the girl, and they're all in love with each other, and it's very complicated.
So Dracula's the main character. Is that what we're saying?
Just a vampire.
I'm like, if you're gonna do a vampire, do the
okay.
Best
it's vampire. it's Dracula. Okay, so we know it's Dracula and Christmas.
It's a Dracula Christmas tale called garlic.
It's a heartwarming salt. Christmas tale, and he's pushed away all the people.
Do any of us know anything about the story of Dracula?
Yeah, a little bit.
Who is Dracula?
Who is? I'm with Matt.
My understanding is that it was based on the legends of, I believe, Vlad the Impaler, like who was this conquering bro mm-hmm. who did awful, awful shit to people. So mm-hmm. the vampiric legend is one that's obviously been around. In various cultures, in various forms, but it really all just kind of comes down to the idea of like draining life force and immortality. And there's a lot of like weird sort of folkloric sort of things, how like vampires, after when they go to bed, they have to like sleep in their mother earth. There's a whole thing in Dracula or where it's like he has to like ship his like soil from his homeland with him because the coffin has to be in his like
so he's like
earth.
The bad okay here now I'll throw something out the wall. Okay, it's in Transylvania. Dracula's the bad guy, right? I would do Dracula is the guy who, Transylvania's in this, like, nice, stable world right now where vampires have enough people to eat and, okay. Dracula's
so they
the bad
sometimes
guy.
Eat, like, livestock, too, right?
Since Julia Binoche from Chocolat shows up. She's a spice. She makes spices. She's got all these exotic spices. Maybe her husband recently died. She's starting a new life. It's a little Eat, Pray, Love style. She's going to go start this new shop in this wonderful little town called Transylvania. And another vampire falls in love with her. Dracula gets word that this lady has all these spices that are going around. Yes, her garlic salt is the hit of the town, mm-hmm. and people are eating it left and right.
So the people are too salty.
The people have too much garlic in them.
Yeah.
So Dracula's like, we got to kill Juliette Binoche. And this guy's like, but I love Juliette Binoche now. So that's like the start. That's all I got.
That's really good. Okay. No, yeah, all the people taste too garlicky.
Garlicky. And,
all the vampires are going to die.
All the vampires are going to die. And Dracula's like, who? And he's so like, this guy's like Benedict Arnold. Yeah. He's like, you care more about this lady than your own species? He's like, yes, I love Juliette Binoche. Didn't you see her in Chocolat? She was ravishing. It's a great movie.
Right, so the part of the vampiric legend is that they can kill you by sucking your blood, or they can turn you into a vampire by like bringing you not.
Oh,
quite.
Okay. I got it. I think I got it.
Okay.
You do that. The spice person moves in.
Okay.
And yeah, she's making everybody's lives better.
And
like
Juliet.
Yeah. Like the Juliet, the spice lady, moves to town. And
real quick, 45 minutes remaining, folks.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, we got so much time. What do you guys want to talk about?
Whoa! Don't jinx us. Okay, you do Julia Binoche, she moves to town, in this little Transylvania, right?
Yeah.
It's like all the people, and they're like, oh, there's all these vampires always feeding on us, and then you got like rival high school vampire town. And so she moves to town, she's, again, they don't have any spice, because sure enough, fucking Dracula is always, stopping the garlic shipments from getting
Life is so bland there.
Exactly. So she brings a little bit of spice of life to the town. It's sort of like a Babette's Feast type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do like, okay, so yeah. But here's my thought was essentially you would
this
do that.
This is a sexy movie.
Yeah. So you do, they send a vampire in to masquerade as a human
mm-hmm.
to like seduce her and break her heart so she'll run away.
Mm-hmm.
Or just to kill her and eat her, I guess.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, you would do, he falls in love and can't kill her. I'm trying to think of what the contrivance is, but now you got this vampire main character. You got her, and then you got this vampire who's living among the people or whatever.
He's sent to kill her, mm-hmm. and you do. I don't know how the vampire stuff works, but you would do like there's like
clearly,
yeah. But no. I mean, you would do something like it's this is horrible. Like I was gonna say like gang initiation, but it's like he's sent to like go kill this lady,
yeah,
right. And you're gonna you're gonna draw favor with Dracula in the court, and he goes there. And he's watching her. He's waiting for the perfect moment. He's seeing her be, all flirtatious with the guys that come in and kind to the children. And she plays this sweet music, and you know, she helps a wounded bird. He's like, I love this lady, and mm-hmm. he can't bring himself to kill her, so he lies. And then what it is, like,
who did he lie to?
Well, Dracula and them, or maybe he just says I couldn't kill her for whatever reason, and they get disappointed. But what I would do is, I was gonna say, is that he ends up being her like invisible protector without knowing. Like, without her knowing at first. Like, for her, oh. he's just this charming guy who comes in, and they're being flirtatious. At night, he's literally fighting off other vampires. And Chuck is like, who is protecting her? Who is this man? And he's kind of playing both sides.
I think I have it.
Okay.
I think you do that he comes into her shop at night to kill her.
Yeah.
But then there's this bread, and it smells so good. And the aroma is so intoxicating that he can't help but bite it.
Yeah.
But then he goes into shock, basically, because it's like a dog eating chocolate, right?
Yeah.
It's got the fucking garlic in it. So then he is bedridden, and she nurses
yes,
him back
to health.
Yes, I was
about to say, he wakes up, and he's shirtless in her bed. Yeah. In the bed.
And she's, like,
and
tending
putting,
to him, and she's caring for him. And then, yeah, woo. He's like, it's the woman who's got to kill it. He's supposed to kill. But then he's – so now, but now, yeah. So now then
– you totally do the thing where it's, like, the sunlight streaming through the window. And he's like – and she's like, what is it? And he's like, oh, I can't touch the sun. She's like, it's okay. And, like,
good.
She, like, totally sees him for, like, who he is.
Oh, you get that steamy moment. Okay, dude, this is a sexy movie. This is the moment – you get that moment where the sunlight comes in and he's – and she's, like, patting his head with, like, you know, like a wet cloth. And the sunlight hits his leg. But he doesn't want to move because he's enjoying it so much. So, like, literally, like – it's like
the pain and the pleasure.
It's, like, steam coming up and he's just staring in her eyes. And she's like, are you okay? He's like, perfect.
I smell burning flesh.
He's
are
like,
you
oh,
okay?
Shit.
It does smell like burning in here.
Okay.
That's very good. So
that's
in terms
fun.
Of inciting incident, I mean, in terms of like him, he goes to kill this lady. Mm-hmm. He tastes her
we'll
amazing
use a, we'll use
bread.
A, we'll use a viewer name. Daniel.
Daniel. Okay.
Daniel.
Daniel the vampire.
Daniel the vampire.
Thank you, Daniel Mayday. For
Daniel Mayday
you.
Is an awesome
that's a
fucking
good name.
Vampire.
Daniel
name.
Mayday goes to kill her, tastes her amazing bread. He's buying her. He's like, I don't care. This is just a human. I care nothing for humans. And then this amazing bread. He's like, I'll take a little piece of this before I nibble on her. And then it's amazing. He passes out because he gets in shock.
This motif of pain and pleasure.
Yeah.
Like that it is like it tastes so good, but it hurts him so much. Do you know what I mean?
Okay. Let's talk about Juliet. Really
okay.
quick.
Yes.
I get more or less like how he falls in love with her. We'll have to figure out, but like, and
also,
I can't even
really
see
like
the conflict that he has, but what's her want?
I also, by just as far as the world that you're setting, I like the idea of you do it in the world of like, you know, like old school folkloric, like there's other beasts of the night that are also like hurting the town. So you also have like other.
Are you trying to throw in like werewolves and shit right now, Freddie?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
Let's get there.
Let's worry about the werewolves.
I guess, I have no problem with that.
Because, I mean, he's got to protect her from something.
Well, there's other vampires.
That's true.
The vampires are, she's still
a problem.
I feel
like you should just do, I feel like you do that, there's other monsters, but it's like the other townsfolk, and it's just low-key, like, we know, but they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? It's just like a fun,
yeah,
like they're very clearly, like, one of the people is Frankenstein's monster. Like, it's just like, there's this, like, sweet, gentle giant, and his, like, his, you know, his grandfather who takes care of his simple boy, basically, but it's clearly Frankenstein. Moved to this town and he's taking care of the
monster.
You have
like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, you have a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And then you do that, her garlic bread manages to make all of their lives better. So yeah, then you do there's a werewolf, you do there's an invisible man who's super shy, and then he comes out and starts meeting everybody because of the bread. Like the...
So, that's great. I mean, yeah, I think that would be a fun like flavor to add.
This
to,
is but... the first dumb thing that leapt in my head, because I'm also wondering who Daniel Mayday was before he became a vampire. And the first thing The first thing that leapt in my head was like he's a World War I flying ace who got shot down and turned into a vampire. But then you do her husband was a World War I flying ace on the other side who died.
Oh,
and
shit.
And he finds out that he's the man who killed her husband.
Oh,
whoa.
Shit. Dude, you dropped that. That was good. Guys, that guy,
I don't know. Should it be that the big secret is that he's a vampire or that he killed her husband?
It's both.
Both. Lots of drama. Okay, well, but let's get there in a sec. So let's talk about Juliet. Because I think I do like we kind of got to a little bit. I do like because okay, for the little bit I know about vampires there's like kind of two modes to a degree in terms of right. Ultimately, a vampire is going to be it's about sucking up life force, right? It's consuming, and that can be there's the sexual element of it. A lot of vampires again, there's a reason why a lot of them are erotic, and it is you know it's metaphors of sex and body fluids and all
that
stuff.
Actually, as the Victorian times went on, a lot of vampiric folklore was essentially warning against promiscuity.
Yeah.
Young.
But then there's
ladies.
there's also like the much more parasitic version. Like again, like you go Nosferatu and whatnot. It's not erotic at all. It's this gross parasitic old man who is, you know, thriving off the life force of the young, right? So we are gonna do this thing of like the spice of life. I would imagine that even the Draculas themselves, the vampires. The world of vampires is not like it's not a Hellboy. It's not Blade vampires. Not sexy raves and nightclubs. It is stuffy castle. You know, medieval time.
What we do in the shadows style.
Very dry, like boring. Like again, Transylvania itself, the whole town is kind of lifeless, and so is the world of the vampires right now. They go, they get people, they eat them like it's a buffet, and then that's it.
Matt, I'm gonna say your two favorite words.
Okay,
Ernst Lubitsch.
Ernst Lubitsch.
Because you do that, it's a like if you were to do like if this movie were to come out in the 1940s or 50s, yeah. You would do it's a metaphor for post-war Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have like the stodgy old
yes.
guard, right? The old way and the new way,
yeah.
right? And so that she is the new way.
Yeah.
And you have all of these outcasts and oddballs that live in this town. And like the bread is a metaphor for, you know, letting go of repression and letting go of tradition. And, you know, like
yes.
again, like enjoying your life as opposed to being hemmed in by tradition.
Even post war Europe is not bad. I could see that. Like in terms of again, there's like people are it's sad, it's tough times. There's not a lot of flavor in life, including again, even the vampires themselves, they don't have any joy anymore of even eating people. They just like go consume her, we'll eat them, and then we keep living. All they care about is hanging on to the
clinging,
vampires care
clinging
about clinging
to
life, not living life, right? So you do that. The town as a whole is like that. And this so we need do we like post-war Europe?
Post-war
yeah,
Europe.
I like
yeah.
post-war
okay.
Europe, yeah.
So, and I like her. I like her husband died, and I like that. I like that her husband was a fighter pilot, and again, it's a little Ypres love. Like, she's going, I just always say that. I've never read it or watched it. I just assume it's people going off and eating and praying and loving. So,
but as the title would suggest.
Okay. I'm going to throw something else out there. She's a vampire hunter.
I was thinking that you
like
do,
a traveling,
like, it was maybe a second turn where you reveal that she actually, like...
She's like, a vampire killed my husband,
mm-hmm.
and I've come to Transylvania for revenge.
And when she...
Can I go?
I think we're thinking the same thing.
The garlic shop, the spice shop is her cover.
It's her cover, and because it draws out the vampires and all the bad stuff in whatever region she's in.
Yes, you would do something like that.
Yes,
but
because what you would do is...
And then, but she's also, what she doesn't realize is her bread makes people happy. Right, mm-hmm. So the choice is going to be to put down the steak and to cook steak instead. I don't know.
Put down the steak and
cook the steak.
And season the steak.
She throws the steak into the oven to burn to make her bread. She has all these wooden steaks. Yeah, that's the end. She uses them. Yeah, oh, that's a great last image. You find out she's got all these like razor sharp wooden steaks she's been carving to slay the vampires that killed her husband or whatever.
Yeah, so she knows that a vampire killed her husband.
Yes.
And she's come there, and then this love story happens. And what you would do is that he decides to help her find him. And then, of course, he would then realize that actually she's looking for him specifically. And that's like and then it's going to be like, is she going to forgive and deal with this grief and then find this new love? Who, and again, you do the stories like, it's not like he was some vicious dude. It's like, it'd be like, I wasn't a vampire when I killed your husband. Like, we were on opposite sides of the war.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like that thing is like, can't she put that down? But it's like, right, you have that moment when him and the audience was like, oh my God, like, she's coming for me, but I love her so much.
Mm-hmm.
The timeline gets screwed up. Like, she just knows that he was shot down by a vampire, but that reputation came.
I'm going to fucking kick this up.
Mm-hmm. All right.
50 Shades of Grey.
What?
I'm going to kick this up 50 Shades.
Oh.
.. of Grey.
Oh, I see.
You do. She knows. He bites the bread. He falls for the trap.
She knows.
He wakes up shackled in her basement, dog.
Yeah.
And then you do. She's like, you're going to fucking tell me everything about the vampires in this area. And he's like, I'll never talk. But then it's like a sexy,
I kind of liked her coming at it sideways, like a little smarter.
Oh,
like,
no, she's charming him.
Yeah, she's a charmer.
I really like that twist because you do, like, again, like if act one is hit the girl coming to town and then all the vampires are getting sick because all the people in Transylvania that they're eating tastes like garlic now. He goes in to pull a hit on to kill the garlic lady. He goes in to put the hit on her. You do like, so yeah, that's essentially your act one kind of thing. He bites the bread and then he gets sick and wakes up in her bedroom, right? And she's tending to him. And then act two, she's playing dumb because she wants to sweet talk him into giving up his she wants to, again, it's like the journalists were like, I can get more out of someone with a beer and cigarettes than by torturing them, right?
Yeah.
So she's playing the role of the Florence Nightingale, essentially. Like, oh, I'm going to tend him back to health.
Yeah.
So she starts playing him, essentially. And then he finds out that end of act two is like, I don't know. Like, but then you do at some point, he finds out that she's actually, we find out that she's a vampire hunter.
He finds like the trove of like letters. Like, I recognize this man as a man I killed.
And I like that it's like, he's in love with her. Again, he's in love with the thing that'll kill him, right? Like, again, it's like
the food. So is this from his point of view? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
Give me a second. Yeah. I just want to lay it out. So then you would do essentially that it's like, again, your sort of handshake moment. The deal is I will help you find the man who killed your husband.
Yeah.
If you agree to leave once you're done, right?
Yeah.
And that's how he's going to get, because he doesn't have the heart to kill her, right? So this is his way out of it. Is he's going to help her find out which vampire it is. And then they're going to fucking slay the...
He doesn't even know it's him yet.
Yeah.
What I would do is, in terms of, because you need, I think what it would be is like, he was the first person he ate. He just turned into a vampire. He was delirious. And he's suddenly having this flashback of walking across a battlefield and consuming a fighter pilot. Like, he barely remembers. It was like, it was a tragic time for him. And all she knows is that her husband crash landed. And instead of taking prisoner,
bite marks on his neck.
Was consumed. He was alive when he crash landed. So she's like, somebody ate him. And then he realizes it's him, and he doesn't know. And he's still dealing with becoming a recent vampire.
Ding ding ding! 30 minutes left.
Okay.
This is
cooking.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Yeah. Okay. So what I'm struggling with is how we come into the movie, because I like that she's actually a vampire hunter. That means like you're not. It's tough to be like, it feels like it's from him, because that twist is also
his point of view,
So let's talk about him then, because he actually, like, what, if we're coming in to this movie, we're coming in, like, status quo is vampire land.
Mm-hmm. We got to talk about, the castle or whatever.
Yeah, and then it's going to be this charming young girl comes in and, you know, is spicing up the town, but it's becoming a problem because she's cooking garlic or garlic bread, and it's making people sick, and they're like, we got to get rid of her. So forth and so on. So let's talk about that. Like, can vampires just eat anybody at any moment now? Is there like,
what's the way that some people get around it is that they'll be like, they only have to feed like once every, right? Like, it's not like a every single day type of situation. Otherwise, there'd be nobody left in the town, right? Like once every month or something, someone gets culled from the herd or something. It's a large, mid to large-ish medieval town scale type of
size. So does it start with like maybe... Then do you start with a mystery? Like, is her being, like, just a bread cooker, like, the first kind of twist? And, like, bear with me, if you were going to do, like, it's almost like a vampire detective story at first. Like,
at first,
who's
like,
getting sick? People are getting sick all the place. All the vampires are getting sick. Why is this happening? Mm-hmm. And they're looking, and then they find the source of it, and it's this charming little bread shop that opened up.
Oh, you know what would be good, too? Here's what you do. Mm-hmm. He's, like, the vampire doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they need doctors or whatever. But I was also going to be like, he was a medic in the war, mm-hmm. not a fighter pilot. So which is another way the audience isn't going to think.
Yeah, yeah.
Because again, it's also like, oh, he's this guy who healed people. And he still has conflict about the fact that he has to feed on, drink blood and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean?
I like that, because it's also like, it's like a rationale.
Oh, you know what?
Like, if he can minimize the number of people killed. If
he's the town doctor, he could be doing like bloodletting. And that's how he's like, we're going to not, we got to not like be a huge, we can't be out here. Like, so he's collecting blood from people.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so he's already in the town.
He acts as the normal town doctor.
Yeah.
It's also a way he can do triage and shit. He also kind of like Sweeney Todd-esque, like he takes certain patients to go get killed by the vampires. Again, he's doing this. He's rationalizing himself as like, look, like otherwise the vampires just can go wild.
Yeah.
Right?
He's the uneasy truce.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, hey, if this guy's going to die anyways, like let's at least like, then the vampires don't go kill some innocent, child in the street. Like, this guy's got cancer. He's got a year left to live. Like, well, I need somebody. Let's bring him there. So he's this doctor who's this vampire doctor.
Well, I like that too, because then he is in the town at the beginning. He's the one everyone knows and trusts.
Yes.
Like, he's the town doctor.
Yes.
And then he gets the blood and he takes the blood back to the castle where the vampires feast on it.
Yes.
But then your sort of inciting incident is they drink the blood and they spit it out. Like, what the hell is going on? This tastes awful. There's something wrong with the blood.
Yeah.
Or one gets like sick, right? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
So
people
then people
are getting sick. Yeah.
So people stop. People are like,
vampires,
we can't trust you anymore.
Vampires get
so
sick.
Vampires start going off and killing more and more innocent people in the streets. And it's becoming, again, the dark days of vampires running amok are happening again.
The old folkloric legends are true.
And he's like, I just want to keep things. I just want to, I don't, I want the minimum number of people to die.
So you could do, it's great too, because you do the the first, like, how he meets the girl. She comes in to for a checkup or something like that, or her little daughter is sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? And he, like, you know, gives her a lollipop or whatever. Yeah. It's like he meets this woman, and she's this new woman in town. But then he finds out that she's the reason everyone is.
Yeah, you definitely have him meet her first, and they have a little flirtation first.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Does she have? Okay. Well. Okay. That's a good. That's good for him. That's pretty dope. Okay. So he's a medic from World War II who got turned into a vampire on the battlefield.
Yeah.
I love this, like, other whole movie we could do about vampires during World War II that's just on the fringes of this
thing, which
is great. Of course, there's, like, blood everywhere. Okay, so turned into a vampire during World War II. He was a medic. He was ashamed of himself. You couldn't even do he was an American. To even make it less likely that she would think it's him, it's like
he wasn't
going to go back home. Like, he was, you know,
well, there's no way.
With
but
himself.
Also, there's no way for him to do it due to his sensitivity to sunlight.
Oh,
he's
that
stuck.
Would be hard to. Yeah, that's actually pretty good. But, like, yeah, you can even do. He has a family back home. They all assume he's dead. It's like he can't go back home. He's a vampire. He would be afraid to hurt others. He found Transylvania. And they brought him in and they took care of him and they turned him in. You know, he's now in the vampire world. And he's doing his best to try to play both sides and, you know, keep as few people dying as possible. But, you know, he also
as atonement.
It's not like
he
hates.
It's not
like he hates. You know, because a lot of these vampires are just people like him who got turned into it. And it's the circle of life. It's like they need to eat. But let's not go. Okay. Great. So that guy's Daniel.
That's Daniel Mayday.
That's a cool character.
That's a good name for a pilot, too.
Daniel Mayday.
No, as a medic is good. Like, weren't you a pilot?
Well, I thought of the pilot thing because I thought of Mayday. I was like, oh, he gets shot down. All right. And then for her, she lost her husband. What's her deal? Was she French? Like Juliette Binoche?
She's a vampire hunter.
Yeah.
Disguised as a bread maker.
Yes.
Spice owner.
That's how she pays her way going from town to town. Yeah.
So she has been – now, is she just looking just – I mean, she's clearly looking for the person who killed her husband.
Yeah.
But is this, like, supernatural-esque where she's, like – I mean, she's killing vampires left and right, and then the ultimate goal is to obviously get to the one that killed her husband. But is she, like, a vampire hunter? Like, let me put it this way.
Is she trying to wipe vampires out
of
the face
of the earth?
Have
they heard of this Buffy-type person who's been going around Europe killing other vampires?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
So, yes, she has been killing vampires.
Yeah.
All across Europe.
Yeah.
Because she's grieving over the loss of her husband.
Or it might be that there's just like, there's a sickness that is coming. Like, there's something that's changed in the humans. It might be just like a more vague threat.
Well, I like that it is like part of her plan is that, it's not like she's doing, it's not like she's always out there doing backflips and blade landings and stuff like that. The garlic salt is her plan.
Yeah, yeah.
She's going to take her spice and sell it from place to place, and then it becomes this plague.
Yeah.
It draws
the vampires to her, and then she fucking kills them. I like the arc of it at the end. She's going to throw the steaks into the oven and,
she's going to
give up her quest for revenge.
Yeah, just like all of Europe and the world needs to. It's a metaphor for post-war.
She needs to
let the war go.
Yeah, she's going to kind of accept the grief and move on with her life.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what it feels like?
What?
It feels like, okay, this is your three hanky picture. This is your weepy.
She needs to die.
No, the guy needs to die. Vampires need to die. Vampires are bad. You can't compromise.
Yeah, vampires
with
are
evil,
the old world.
Right? Like he's been rationalizing it, right? And so his brave act at the end, you would do like it's like Dracula is the mother brain of the vampires, right? And if you kill Dracula, all the vampires. If you kill the host, everyone dies.
Oh, that's good.
And so then you would do his last fight is killing Dracula. And giving her the revenge she sought, right? Like an atonement, and it's a sacrifice essentially.
You would do. They definitely like the fifth, like the end of the fourth act is they capture her. Like it's enough is enough. Like you do, vampire realizes that he's been flirtatious with her.
And he's
he realizes who
with
she
her.
Is. All that stuff, and it's like the low point is like she is captured, ready for like this ritualistic sacrifice, and he's captured as well. Or on
oh,
the
you
run,
know what it is because
and it is
you know what it is too. It's like because they've captured her, it's like they've called all the vampires to come, like witness the death of their killer. Right?
Oh
like,
yeah,
finally, like finally justice for our vampiric brethren. So it's like this giant coven of
someone's
like,
been playing Wolfenstein lately.
I'm just saying all the vampires are in this dope castle, and he's got
Dracula's gonna chop her head off like in Wolfenstein.
But then he does it.
By the way. Definitely Nazi vampires in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
They're
being called back from Brazil.
So that's very good. So this, this is going to, so this ends with freaking her and him just mowing down vampires in a castle in Transylvania.
This turns from like a sultry, it's like, this is one for everyone, right? It's a sultry, sexy movie. And then she's like, and then it turns into Blade.
Full on.
Well, it'll be like Hamlet, you know, it'll be like, it's like a big poison scene and like then swinging off the chandelier and killing Dracula. And then he's dying and she's holding him and he's like, blah.
And he's like, let the sun in.
Oh my God. Let the light cleanse us.
Oh yes, it definitely ends with the big like
and she
castle
holds
curtains.
Him as he turns into ash in her hands because the sun hits him. Yeah.
Oh shit, she's holding the stake. Like so, like when he disappears, all that she's left holding is just a single stake in her hand, covered in blood. And she's like, "I need to let this go."
Yeah. All right. To bash this out, if we're gonna do our 5X,
yes, let's talk about 5X.
Okay.
Because it'll help with her. Because we
this will help us in the elevator with Kathleen. okay. So Act One. So there's like. Dracula's castle, right? Yes. And it's the court of the vampires, right? And it's like this sort of home base for the vampires. And he works for them. He's a vampire. He lives in little Transylvania town, and he's the town doctor.
Yes.
And he bleeds people with leeches, and he yada, 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 and he collects a little bit of their blood, just schemes a little off the top to give the vampires what they need to keep going, right?
Yes.
But
I think he does need to have people get, again, in order for it to also be that he needs to die at a certain point. Like, I do think, like, when there's a sick old man or something, like, there are times where he brings in
where he
people.
He murders people. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And he kind of justifies, it's still shitty.
It's like this person's triage. If I don't bring them somebody, they're going to kill everybody.
I feel like he probably, there's a rival in the court that is like, we should go back to the old ways as well. There's like that guy who's like, man, we used to just fucking rip their throats out and drink guzzle. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Who gives a shit? Like,
we're better than them.
Also, like,
I'm drinking old man blood. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, I want baby blood.
And they just had a feast. World War II was a feast for them.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So it's like the idea of them going back to the old ways is like, again, these young upstarts who started during World War II. It's like, Dragon's like, are you guys kidding? Like, I used to be able to eat like one person every 100 years, like when I was high.
Oh, that's great.
Upstarts is like, I'm so used to just thousands of people on battlefields I could just consume. And it's like gluttony. And he's like, guys, come on. Like, not only that, but I also like the idea from the very, it's like repopulation. It's like, if people are the resources, like, yo, like, humans just kill a bunch of each other. Like, we can't, like, kill, we can't just keep killing everybody. Otherwise, we're going to run out of humans. It's like basic fishing.
You know? I like it because I think you, because I actually like Dracula being kind of the reasonable one. Who, like, he's like, this is a good deal. Like, you guys don't remember. Like, it's, we got to, it's the old days again. You know what I mean? The war's over, right? We have to let go of our bloodlust and go back to the shadows. And again, like, you have these people in the court that want to just keep feast. Like, again, like this, again, this rival, right?
Oh, also, they could hide and, like, nobody was questioning vampires during war, too.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, people were just dying all crazy.
But things to worry about.
Tons of people started showing up dead with bite marks, so like they're gonna be hunting us. Back to the old days.
So, but then I also like the idea that you do Dracula is like a father figure for our main character.
Yeah.
That Dracula, he's actually, that's Dracula likes him and he likes Dracula, right? Or it's like, because again, if they're gonna fight, because once Dracula finds out that he's betrayed them, right? It's like, you, if you're gonna get it, if they're gonna kill each, if he's gonna kill him at the end, like it's gotta feel like, you know, like really intense for this showdown that he used to view him as a son.
Yes.
Okay, so he's in the town. He's kind of, again, he's, you know, he's sort of the shy, handsome doctor, right, who never seems to leave his house except for the, you know, at night. The people come in, and again, I like the idea that, like, we're doing a little Easter eggs. Like, one of them is clearly a werewolf. One of them is Frankenstein and is, you know, is a monster hiding out after the war, like that kind of thing. And then you do, this girl comes to town, and all of a sudden, the batch is bad, right? He's like Walter White making the meth, right? Now, the meth isn't as good. He comes back, he makes his delivery, and that night they feast, but it's, people are sick, and they're like, what the fuck is going on?
You even do, like, he brings back the blood. They all eat it. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'm sorry, I'll get you guys blood tomorrow. And then he gets more blood, and he tests it himself. And it's like, oh, my God, it's all garlicky. Like, what the hell's going on? So he actually, like, you do this thing where he actually has to go out and kill some people. Because they're like, he knows if he doesn't bring back good blood. They're like, it's got to be something out there. So he brings all this. He's like, no, everything's fine. He's like, oh, shit, I need to figure out what's going on with this blood before the vampires figure out that everything's going wrong.
Because we are, like, one thing away from just total annihilation of this town.
Okay, so it feels like end of Act 1 is something's wrong with the blood.
Yes.
And then Act 2 is him stalling with the vampires and trying to figure out what's going on.
Investigation.
And then he, meanwhile, he's, you know, like, he has a date that night with the girl, right? Like, they're like, or he sees her at the town festival or whatever. Like, you know, he eats the bread. That would be how he puts it together, right? Like, he eats her bread and he goes into shock and falls down, and then she's got him back at her house, right? And she's like, I don't know what you. It must have been an allergic reaction or something.
I love
that.
The idea of playing both. Like the, I love that act too. Is like both the stress of investigating how the blood's going bad and the anxiety of going on this new date.
Yeah,
you're kind of playing these two things. Like, I gotta investigate this, otherwise, like, people are gonna start dying. But like, this cute girl also came into town. I'm gonna go on a date with her.
Okay.
I also like that. By the way, you should also, if Dracula's his father figure, he should also say something like, he should know he's going on a date. And it's like, hold, it's like, come on, dude. It's like, I know you're going to, it's, look, I get it. I was a young vampire once, too. It's going to take a while for you to let go of being a human, but like, don't get too close or whatever. Like,
15 minutes left.
Okay. Here's something else I like, is that you do Dracula, again, to show that Dracula is like a good father figure. Dracula gives him like a spiffy top hat or like a little signet ring or something like that to make him look super fly. And that's how she fucking figures out that he's a vampire, because she knows all the vampire lore. And so it's like the, like, it's like his fancy doublet or whatever, like, or whatever. It's just something he's wearing to like kind of show off.
Like a lapel pin.
Oh, something, right? So she hips to it, and she confirms her suspicion when she feeds him the garlic bread. Yeah. We don't know this yet.
Yeah.
So anyway, end of act two is going to be he figures it out, right? He's like, holy shit, it's her. It's her bread. And now he's bedridden in her house.
Yeah.
And it's this girl he's just fallen head over heels for. And he's like, oh, this sweet, simple, naive woman doesn't understand that she's killing all the vampires. Oh, what am I going to do? The vampires are getting restless. They're going to want to come kill people in the town. Shit, right?
Who's his rival? I like the shitty court rival kid.
What's that? Give us another name, Freddie.
Give us a name for somebody who's going to be a shitty douche of a character.
Apologies in advance to Miles.
Oh, that's a great name for a douche.
Sorry, Miles. Oh, come on. Miles Oliveris, who lent his name. So
Miles,
you are now
Oliveris.
The villain.
Oliveris. Okay, Miles.
Miles, yeah.
Miles is very good.
Okay, so Miles, the other vampire, and he's like, what the fuck is going on around here?
You definitely do a scene where, like, he's supposed to be killing, like, whoever is causing the garlic. And of course, you do this thing where they go on their second date, right? And they're, like, dancing. And then he turns around, and Miles is like, may I take this? And you're like, oh, shit, Miles knows straight up that he's dating the girl who's responsible for the garlic.
He's like, you bring her
to Dracula and kill her yourself, or I'm going to kill her.
Okay, because the other thing I was going to say is you could do that this macho young warrior.
Yeah.
Word through the vampire kingdom has said that, like, you know, whatever the, what is, like, the Night Stalker is the name of, like, Kolchak the Night Stalker. the Night Stalker is the name of this legendary vampire hunter who's been just tearing the community apart, right? And word has come that the Night Stalker has arrived in Transylvania, right? And so then this other guy's like, I'm going to find this man and slay him, right? And so you have his rivals now snooping around the town, like, trying to, and then maybe, I was also thinking maybe you do, there's someone in town that is like your kind of red herring.
Yeah.
Although I guess you don't really need, it's not a mystery because
we know
that it's the garlic.
This is good, by the way. In terms of, he doesn't know that Juliet is actually like, the whatever the name
the
is.
Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker, right? You want to talk about like the big turn act three? Like, again, if you're going to follow like, what's the West Side Story? Or again, which is just freaking Romeo and Juliet. Miles gets killed. You want to do, like, the thing where it's, like, Dracula, like, whatever. The end of Act 3 is he finds out that she's the Night Stalker
because
when she kills Miles.
He walks in on her fucking staking his ass.
Yes,
they
are these rivals, and they both fight for Dracula's affection. Miles is the hot-headed, tempered one, and again, Daniel's the guy, like, we can live in peace. Like, I understand, like, we gotta go back the old ways. Miles gets freaking killed. Dracula's devastated and angry. And then, of course, like, he realizes who it is, and he's like, you gotta bring her here now. And then you would do, like, yes. Or Dracula is so furious that he sends people out to get her or whatever.
When do we... Okay, because I feel like the plot's getting a little wonky.
Yeah.
When do we find out... Again, because it's like, I'm also like, what is it like a mystery? Like, I like that idea of a mystery, right?
Yeah.
And then he finds out it's her, and then at first it's like he's like trying to protect her because the other vampires are coming for him. And meanwhile, he's kind of like trying to subtly discourage her from, you know, cooking garlic shit, right? And then she... is finding out that here's my point. At what point do they drop the guard with each other, right?
I was going to say...
I like the idea that the deal was he's going to help her find the man who killed...
I think when she kills Miles, he finds out she's the Night Stalker.
Yeah.
And he's like, holy shit. And then she's about to kill him, and they already have this relationship with each other.
Yeah.
They can't bring each other to kill each other.
It starts, it's like a Mr. and Mrs. Smith fight that they surrender to their passion at the end of it. Yeah.
And then they have hot, steamy sex. And then when they wake up, he's like, what are you doing this for? And then she tells him, he's like, I'll tell you what, I will find... And that's like the peace. He's like, he wants to keep the peace.
So
he's like, I will protect you. and I will stop the vampires from coming after you right now. I will figure out a way to lie this story about how Miles died, and I will also go and investigate and figure out who's the person who killed your husband. Will that be enough? Like, can you stop killing all the vampires in this town
and stop selling
your garlic salt, which is what this movie's about?
Yeah.
And I will find the person who killed your husband.
Yeah.
And of course, the low point of Act 4 is they will simultaneously, like, probably he realizes and she realizes at the same time maybe that he's the one who killed her husband and she's captured.
Yes. Okay. I love that. Because I also love she stops using the garlic salt.
Yeah.
And then the joyous life in the town returns to this dull, you know, like,
yeah,
just
yeah.
everyone's humans miserable again. Like, our bread sucks, our food sucks, we can't use our nice spice.
What magic did she use to make this stuff taste better?
So, and then, so then she's, again, you're seeing that this is a problem, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I like that, and then I like that, yeah, I'm trying to think of what he does to figure this out, right?
Yeah. For the time we have, it's going to be 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
Okay. I mean, it's going to be her... It's gonna be. I like that if he doesn't remember it, right? Because it was the first person he ate, which I also like this kind of like twisted karma of like this delirious vampire. And again, it's also in terms of teaching him like vampires have to die. It's like he could be as well intentioned as possible, but still, like, he killed this woman's husband, right? Like, it's like the realization's like,
and he's been killing people and bleeding them without their consent. Yeah, it's just like the only you can't compromise with evil, right?
So it would have to be he starts asking. Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's that much to figure out. It's like, it's not going to be much of an investigation. I think at a certain point,
it's like, where was she killed? And then he's like slowly,
you know,
bits come back to him.
You know what would be? It would the scene he figures out it's him is Dracula is going to be giving him a lesson as his father figure. And he's be like, when I found you on the battlefield. And it's be like, as Dracula is telling him, like, whatever it is about, like, whether or not to get involved with a human woman or you know, after Miles, it's going to be, as he's telling him the story, he suddenly realizes, like, holy shit, I'm the one who killed her.
I mean, it could also literally be, like, I mean, just in terms of he's like, tell me about how your husband died.
Yeah, that's
right?
True. Just faster.
And so she opens up, right,
yeah.
which is a big deal for her,
yeah.
to open up about the death of her husband.
Yeah.
And she tells him the story.
Yeah.
And then he has the flashback and realizes, oh, shit, it's me.
So then does he go and try to lie and try to find somebody, like another vampire that she can kill that will stop all this?
Or you do, it's one of those things where it's like, it's a classic, like the story makes her think it was someone else, right?
Yeah.
Like, it was his mentor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not Dracula, it was some other person, he thinks it was the person who turned him.
He's lying to her saying he's investigating, but he already knows.
Yeah.
Right, and the town's getting happy, and she's like calming down, and she's like, she's bugging him every night, like after they have steamy hot sex.
No. I don't know. I'm trying to think.
I think you need a space.
No, but here's what I was gonna say.
I
was gonna say you do that. It is like, again, just in terms of a therefore but kind of
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
right? It's like he's like, all right, we'll find out who this man is, and I'll go kill him.
Yeah.
Right. And then it's the first turn is like, oh shit, it's this big deal vampire. That if I kill him, it'll be war. It'll be whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And he does it. But then when he kills the guy would be like, you fool. It's not me. It's you. You fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, holy shit, it's me. And then now he's been caught. And like, I don't know. I'm trying. It's getting a little mushy.
So we have a little bit of a gap here between Act Two and Three. So
okay.
It's like Act Two, he realizes her and her bread's garlicking up everyone's blood. He thinks that she's some simple, naive so and so. Into Act Three, we have
that's the end of Act Two. He figures out that it's
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
So beginning of Three is a little muddy right now.
Beginning of Three is she is the again like potentially Miles the comes to town and is snooping around to find her
yes.
or to find this vampire hunter. He is trying to discourage her from selling her garlic.
Yes.
They're falling in love. She's tending to him.
Yes,
and then
he's protecting her. Miles is sniffing out who is like he's like Daniel's not doing a good enough job. There's still garlic. Blood everywhere. What's happening? Miles realizes that, oh, he's protecting this woman who's doing this, and they're in love. And of course, rather than going to Dracula, he wants to do it himself because he fucking hates Daniel anyways because they're rivals. And then it ends in disaster where Miles dies from her, and he realizes not only is she just like she's not accidentally selling garlic bread to everybody. She is the Night Stalker, the famous
vampire
hunter.
Yeah, you do
hunter.
That. Daniel thinks that the Night Stalker is just stupid vampire superstition. Like,
yeah.
there's no Night Stalker. They're always freaking about a new Van Helsing.
Yeah.
Everyone always thinks there's going to be a... And there never is. It's just stuff. It's just...
Yeah.
But then it's like, oh, shit, no, it's real and it's you. Oh,
yeah.
My God. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's essentially your Act 3. Mm-hmm. I feel like this has got to get to a fucking masquerade ball. Like,
yeah,
it feels,
yeah, absolutely.
Because I was going to say the other thing is it feels like you would have to do that, like, he... Like, brings her to the vampire court. Do you know what I mean? That feels like a good Act 4 sequence.
Why are we thinking, rather than, especially just like another damsel in distress thing, but it's also just more interesting, rather than like if she's taken, it should be that he's like she comes in the masquerade ball because they're going to sacrifice him for being a traitor to, like, the vampires.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, like, I'm just trying to think if it's, like, if you just do, like, she's...
Oh, she goes to rescue him, and then she finds out that he's the one who killed
her. And then he does
the big abandons him.
At first, and then, yes, of course, then they come together, and then he sacrifices himself to kill all the vampires, including himself.
All right, 5 minutes, guys.
Okay,
wrap it up.
Let's work backwards, because I feel like it's Act 4 is kind of mushy,
right? Yeah.
But it seems like Act 5 is going to be he kills Dracula, because it's, like, it's time for the vampires to end, right? And he... So... It feels like Act 4, somehow he discovers that it's him, right?
Yes.
And the full weight of that comes crashing down on him. And he's like, and he, something has got to move him to be like, this whole thing is fucked. Like, we can't compromise with this. Like, this is like, I can't just keep living this. Like, the town maybe finds out that he's a vampire.
Yeah.
And he is outcasted from everywhere now. Maybe, like, he's outcasted from
the coven.
The coven. And,
yeah.
And he's outcasted from the town. And then again, in 4, she's going to get captured, right?
I would do, so going backwards in 5, I feel like the most interesting thing is that he's a traitor. Miles dies, he's blamed for it, he's taken. I would do, they're going to sacrifice, it's the first vampire sacrifice they've done in ages because there's yet to be a traitor. Like, he is literally, he's been sleeping with a human woman and killed one of his own kind,
so,
right?
So end of Act 4 is he gets abducted.
Yes.
Okay. Because
what I would do is she's come to save him.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I'm fucking safe. I'm not losing another man I love. I don't care if he's a vampire, because, of course, they already love each other. When she saves him, he confesses, or she finds out. But it's actually stronger if
she...
If, what?
She should know before she goes to rescue him.
That
he
one.
Did it.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, it's just a double downbeat. You do that...
That's true.
In terms of the sequencing of it, it would be she finds out that it was him.
When he's captured.
Yeah. And then he... Because then her low point is...
Yes.
Is that she... Again, she said this other guy is going to die. She fell in love with... Again, she understands it, but she's like, I'm going to go save him, right?
And also, she's gotten what she wanted, which is her... The person who killed her...
Is going to die.
Is going to die.
Yeah, so yes. Yeah. So Act 4 is... So again, in Act 4, it could be really simple. Again, it's,
yeah,
like,
it's a small...
She's telling him about what happened with her husband. They go to visit his grave. They blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, and meanwhile, he's doing his detective work in the vampire castle. And then he comes to this realization that it was him. And
yes, and what you would do is the consequence in Act 4, the way he's caught and the way this... Because, again, it's like, it is forbidden to be with a human is what you would do. It's just very simple. And so he's also keeping this under the fight because it also makes the, you know, makes the romance sexier.
Mm-hmm.
But you would do is that when she discovers, when she finds out, she is furious, and she goes running off in the streets, and he tries to stop her.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, their fight is what reveals their relationship to the other vampires.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
it's like, literally, she's running on the streets. She's like, he's like, don't go out there. She chases after him. They run into a vampire. They get into a fight. She escapes, but the vampires tie him down.
It's during the daylight.
Yeah, exactly.
So he runs
like
out,
that.
He's burning in the street or something
like
that.
So, yes, this fight causes him to get captured
and
for them to be separated. Now he's going to be executed.
Yeah.
And she's getting ready to leave the city because she's like, it's too dangerous. One, the guy who killed my husband's going to die. And two, they know who I am. I got
to
get out of here.
I have to leave. Yeah.
But she loves him too much.
Yeah, so she's going to fucking save him. So she tooled the Night Stalker rides once more.
Yes, and she goes out.
So she arms up with her stakes.
She goes to Masquerade Ball because
he's
going to
be
sacrificed.
Tonight they will drink the blood of a vampire, right? And and Dracula himself, because you would do Miles as like Dracula's real son, right? Mm-hmm. Who he never liked. And then it's like a classic Maximus.
2 minutes.
Joaquin Phoenix thing. But so yeah, anyway, they're going to sacrifice him. She raids the place. He gets into the fight with Dracula. She's like, I've saved you. And he's like, no. And then he fucking kills Dracula.
Here's how you do. Rather than, so really, because it's not a big action movie. This is a sexy movie. So this is what you do. It's like, she's going to kill him. She's got some poison or whatever. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just trying to think, you want that moment where it's like, he lies to her because she forgives him, right? Mm-hmm. And they have one final kiss. He's like, don't worry, I got a plan. And all of his plans, he took the point. Like, while she's sitting there hidden in the masquerade, if she brought some poison that automatically kills vampires for whatever reason, she looks down and is gone. And she realizes what he did. And he had drank it. And all the vampires drink him, and they all just die around her.
Whoa!
And she holds him as he's dying. And it's like, he kills himself. It's the one way to kill them all.
Oh, because Dracula takes the first bite.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
So he kills himself.
Yeah.
He kills himself. She's like, what's your plan? What's your plan? Because Dracula's about to hold him, and he just stares at her, and he smiles, and then Dracula takes a bite from him, and she's like, no, and then all of a sudden Dracula dies, and she looks down, and the poison's gone. She's like, he stole the poison and took it, and he dies
in
her hand, and all
the
vampires are dead. He's like, I love you. Vampires don't deserve to live.
Yeah.
And then,
in a world blessed by this light.
He's like, let your husband go. The war's over. All the other themes in this movie. Eat your bread. Bread's good. Garlic salt is the tasty zest of life.
Okay.
Sponsored by Lowry's.
Damn.
That's a fun movie.
Guys, that gives us just enough time to prepare ourselves for the elevator pitch. This is a new section, a new idea for the podcast here, where Matt is going to roll a dice to decide which of us has the task of pitching this movie in 30 seconds to some unknown executive in a theoretical elevator. So, Matt, who's up for the elevator pitch?
Freddy.
I am up for the elevator pitch, which means Will
the executive. Will be
playing the eight part of ace producer Kathleen Kennedy on her way to fire the Lord and Miller from doing the Han Solo Star Wars movie.
I'm not ready for this.
It's okay.
All right, hold on.
We already crushed it with the five acts anyways. This is a little...
All right, so Matt, actually, you will be the timekeeper here.
Okay, I'll say that.
We'll say it's a long elevator ride. We'll give you a minute.
A minute's a long... No,
it's 30
seconds.
Okay. 30 right. seconds.
Okay, George, sounds good. I'll call you back later. Goodbye.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about this movie idea.
Are you Freddie Wong?
Yes,
YouTuber.
Of YouTube fame. Thank you. So we have this movie pitch. It's a vampire movie set post World War II.
Okay.
It's a sexy vampire movie. It's about a guy who was a former World War II medic, and he's sort of brokering this truce between these old vampires and this town because he's playing the town. He's the town doctor, mm-hmm. and he's taking the blood from the people and feeding these old vampires. But then one day, the dreaded Night Stalker killer, who's this vampiric legend of this like killer who's been going across Europe killing vampires, shows up in town, and he has to figure out who it is. But it turns out it is the new baker in town who's using, get this, garlic salt. We're thinking we might do a little brand integration with Lowry's. As like one, maybe to get a little extra money from them, but she's baking garlic salt as a way of drawing out vampires because it's tainting all the blood in the town. But they fall in love, and it's this whole Romeo and Juliet story of two star-crossed lovers, and it ends with him sacrificing himself.
Stop. That was 1 minute.
That was a minute?
I gave you extra time.
Wow, 30 seconds is not enough.
It's hard. This is a tough. You got to do like a log line, essentially.
Yeah, 30 seconds is tough.
Yeah, 30 seconds is short and snappy.
All right, let's try 30 seconds. Let me try.
Okay. You want to try again? No,
this is
a good podcast. This is new for us.
Freddie, I'll stop you there. I wasn't listening. I was mentally picturing how I'm going to berate J.J. Abrams for fucking up the next Star Wars movie. But I'm catching the elevator back down halfway to interview Ron Howard to replace him on the next one. So let's take that elevator down to 6 and give me 30 seconds. Just tell me the basic premise.
Yeah,
just
that's right.
It's blank meets blank. What's the hook? I'm Kathleen Kennedy. I'm a busy woman on the go, but I'm really intrigued. So lay it on me.
All right. I got Chocolat meets Blade. The Blade trilogy. This is a vampire movie where a sexy vampire falls in love with the killer, the huntress of all vampires, set in post-World War II Europe, and it's a romance, and there's like blade dives and sweet blade action in it, and Chocolat, like there's baking involved. And the tagline is 'Tis the Seasoning, it's set during Christmas, and...
Okay, I have to go talk to real
okay,
people
thanks.
Now.
Well, that was shorter.
Was that 30? About 30?
You stopped at 20.
Dang, 30 is hard to nail.
That first sentence was good. That's fun. That's a fun story.
Chocolat meets Blade.
Yeah.
I feel like you could pick a classier movie than Blade to be the meets with. I feel like Chocolat meets Dracula.
Yeah.
But that's not relevant to current times.
Well, regardless, that was the elevator pitch.
That was the elevator pitch of the... Are still on the... All right.
I'm nervous. I never wanted the elevator pitch. I just want
it's
to pray.
It's hard, guys. It's hard.
You guys just wait till I'm in that elevator.
I know. You guys are good at this
stuff.
We're
going to go straight to the penthouse to Moneytown right in the elevator.
Also, at no point can the person in the elevator reach over and pull the emergency stop button. Although, I guess you could. You could do one emergency stop.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We have some reviews that we wanted to throw out.
Oh, some reviews and some fan art. So because we had our guest Duncan Jones last time, we did not get a chance to shout out to the awesome Vengeance Dan fan art we got. So big thanks to Rocket Lex for this monster Vengeance Dad poster with the amazing tagline. They said they were untraceable. Hi, untraceable. I'm Dad.
Very good.
I didn't see that. That's amazing.
That one's really good.
Oh my God.
Thanks as well to Mitchell Burton for his poster featuring Kiefer Sutherland as the Ottawan.
Yeah, that was very good.
And then the tagline is, can a dad save his save his mother in time? You quibet your ass he can. Ace dad jokes in both of those, so thank you guys.
And thank you to Miles, Lane Carter, The Beegs, and Alexander Seme for new reviews. Again, as always, make us feel very good at our lowest points in the writer's
room. Writers are very, very fickle beasts. They have no self-esteem, so we need that. And if you want to boost our self-esteem, you can head over on iTunes and leave us a review and write some kind words. It'd be very helpful, and it helps everyone's morale here.
And also, don't forget to submit your names so that you can be... a star of a story break story.
Send them over to at RJ Story Break. So until next time, folks, signing off. We broke it. You got to buy it.